This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows who Jeff is, right? Yeah.
Uncharted Golden Abyss.
Yeah, that was one of them for sure. That was our Vita thing, and I think that actually sold so well on the Vita that they didn't even include it in whatever kind of comparisons they had for other games. So that wasn't a good sign. But it did pretty well.
It was the first Vita game I played, I'll tell you that much.
And I thought it was the really first good. One I played as well. And then I played that Killzone game, which is bad.
Yeah.
Oh, I liked it. The Killzone one too.
No comment. I think that every game that gets made, no, seriously, every game that gets made, there's intentionality and purpose behind it, where there's some dude who, you know, to them, it's something that they put their heart and soul into, and to them, it's just that they just might have made some mistakes along the way or didn't track. But I think every game is good in the right hands.
Welcome to the GLHF Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Game and Fortune, the show where the game is utter nonsense and the prize for our winner is exposure. Burr, chili. In this game, I don't know why it's in the script, I just read it. In this game, players compete against each other to prove their video game knowledge, risking their lives and reputations in the process. Come with us as we slaver ourselves in the Vaseline of trivia. I am your host, the reviled Dave Breens, and I'm here with the one and only Curtin Keen, also known as Barry the Blister, Kettleburn, and Mr. Big.
I burned my hand on a kettle.
You sure did. You sure did.
And it's all you'll talk about.
Yeah.
I've got a hole the size of a 2p on my hand.
I don't. Jeff probably doesn't know how big a 2p is. It's pretty big. It's a large coin. That's all you need to know. Anyway.
You've been to England, haven't you, Jeff?
Yeah, that's one of the coins, right?
One of the coins. A big coin.
Yeah, that's all you really need to know. And this week, we are joined by George Young. How you doing?
Hey. Oh, I didn't do higher. Just didn't slip out. I apologise.
It is a little bit weird. You should have done higher. But
sorry. Higher.
Oh, there we go. There we go. The podcast doesn't start until we hear that. We are also joined by Ollie Brandt. How you doing?
G'day, I'm good.
Oh,
just leaning into the Australian thing now. I'm just going to say g'day at the start of all of these.
Oh yeah, okay. I mean, it is your it's your core concept.
Drop C bombs all the way through it then.
kind of usually has some of those anyway.
That's a term of endearment, right? It is.
But we're also joined by a very special guest, a game developer who probably doesn't even own a kettle. It's Jeff Ross, game director on Game director on Days Gone and more. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing well, thanks. Thanks for having me, guys. This is going to be a lot of fun if I don't look like a complete ass.
That'll make it more fun, don't worry.
For you.
Do you own a kettle?
I do. I've owned many kettles over the years. From stovetop ones to now we've got an electric kettle. But I have an afternoon tea almost every day.
That's quite rare for an American, isn't it? You do it in the microwave a lot of the time, don't you? That's fucked up.
I don't do anything in a microwave.
Nothing.
No. I used to do some popcorn, but yeah, I can't stand microwave food. It's just, it's not that I've got a fine palate, but even I can tell that it's like, it's, you know, everything's soggy and it's just, I don't know. It's cool tech, but it hasn't evolved either. Like, you know, microwaves are microwaves, you know, since 1950. And I'm actually afraid to stand next to them. I just don't trust.
In case you lose your hair.
And, yeah, that's what happened. But no, just the food shit. So I don't do it.
You were working at Embracer on the new Tomb Raider for a while. I know you're probably under NDA, so you can't talk about it, but like, how was the experience overall?
The experience working at Crystal was pretty good. It's one of those things where I did leave after a year kind of on my own, just deciding it wasn't for me. One of the really interesting things about the game industry is there's such a thing as chemistry. There's a way team works and there's a way that you want to work. And when they're not compatible, it's just painful. And so I wasn't giving them my best. So I left and actually kind of even spent 6 months looking for my next thing. And so I had a lot of time off, you know, traveled in the States, and it was nice, but it also kind of gave me this like huge sense of dread about our industry now, you know, it's like, wow, you know, I figured like, oh, I could just go to another job. And you know, that wasn't the case. So it was pretty humbling, but it was also pretty fascinating, you know, to kind of like, you know, learn about yourself a little bit more. But I found a place. I'm still there. I can't talk about that. But that is a place that's, you know, no different, but also the way they work is completely different. So it's one of those things where, you know, chemistry and compatibility is really important in this industry. You can't just take, you know, you can't take one guy and necessarily throw it into a different system, kind of like insert whatever sports metaphor you want to have here. But
I know what it's like to work with people who hate you. I know what it's like.
Yeah, I don't think hate is a strong enough word. No. They were actually, what's fascinating is I've been at toxic places, and this was a place filled with great people. So it's one of those things where, kind of given what I said earlier, I'm like, can I only work with toxic people? You know, what is that part of the chemistry that I need? And the answer is no, but it was one of the thoughts that kind of went through my head.
Have you heard the rumors about the Days Gone remaster?
I did, yeah. I don't know what, I don't have an opinion on it other than why? You know, it's like,
would they ask you first? No. Well,
No. I, you know, when you leave, you're gone. And yeah, like, you know, it's something where, you know, you don't participate in anything. I talked a little shit about my former boss a little bit too. So there's, you know, this is something where, no, they're not going to ask me anything. You know, honestly, I would be shocked if my name was even on the credits of the new version. Same thing.
I was going to say, like, when you leave a place, half the time you don't even get your name on the credits anymore, do you?
Yeah. You know, I think that that probably won't happen. But if it did, I wouldn't be surprised. So it's one of the things where, obviously, you know, I love that game. It was one of those things where it was just, my only beef was never the reviews. It was never, it was never even the reception. It was more like, hey, most games get a sequel, and you know, they get a chance to, you know, the first one is always rough. You're fighting over things like, oh, do we have a mini map? You're just fighting over this pretentious bullshit because you don't know what the game is. And everybody wants to make it, they want to solve every problem they've ever had in the game, or designers can be the most pretentious people on the planet. And they've just got a beef with everything. HUD is one, you know, anything on the in the interface is something that every designer's got an opinion over, but they've got no solutions. And you know, players need feedback. You try to get something through focus tests. You do all this stuff. So you spend a lot of time kind of just fighting over things that could be almost anything, just choices you have to make. And you spend, you know, you kind of spend so much time doing that you kind of lose sight of the bigger picture. But with a sequel, you know what your game is to a large extent. And then you figure out what, you know, which 20% of it that you're going to kind of either, you know, add or refine. And that was my only beef ever, was like, come on, every game, you know, Killzone 1 had a worse score than Days Gone. And then the second one came around and it was fucking huge. I think it was in the 90s or something like that. So I'm not saying that would have necessarily been our trajectory, but it would have been really hard not to move it in the right direction. So that was really my only kind of frustration with it.
I'm just excited to see John Garvin's tweets about it when it's announced.
I haven't talked to him. I don't know. I haven't seen him tweet about it yet.
When Days Gone was announced, George, I actually thought it was a trailer for The Last of Us, like for the first few seconds of it. Was there any like internal beef with that with Sony, or was that not even?
Did that you know, not that I heard of. I did remember watching the Last of Us 2 reveal trailer. I think I was watching Kind of Funny, and Greg Miller, as soon as he saw a forest, I think it was our game. He saw a forest. He's like, oh, Last of Us. It turned out to be Days Gone. But I don't know. I mean, those games it was really weird because they were very similar, yet totally different. And, it had a huge influence on us, too, at the same time. So I think that there was an homage. I think that Bruce is a great game director. He did some really bold shit. And it was really cool to kind of lean into some of the negative parts of combat, kind of punish the player in ways that, you don't handle the player so much, don't be super kind to them. You don't be a complete dick, but kind of strike this right balance. And Bruce Straley, I assume it was him who kind of led a lot of those decisions. But yeah, Last of Us 1 was a huge influence, and it's still one of my favorite games from a story point of view. And from a gameplay point of view, it's really, really good. And it was funny. After that, I played Hotline Miami. And the two games were so brutal. I forget what I played afterwards, but I think it had to be a Nintendo game just to kind of have a palate cleanser of dying around every corner. But internally, I don't know. I do know that when we were starting to pitch the sequel to the game internally, there were a lot of things that were just like, oh, hey, we had a new writer, we had a new art director, there was just a lot of kind of turnover, and there was no central creative director anymore. So it was like this group committee thing. We were going to make a camel. That's what we were going to make. They say, a camel is a faster horse designed by a committee. And that's where this game was going. But it was just, in retrospect, it was hysterical. A lot of the story elements in play and a lot of the art direction in play were like, hey, let's go to Portland, a destroyed Portland, and move through it. Let's have somebody be pregnant in this game. And so there's just a lot of things that were honest, original story choices, kind of choices on these people's parts. But they were, unbeknownst to us, stepping into, Last of Us 2 space. Again, would have been totally different, but at a very, very high level, it's like, come on, like, you're really playing with the same elements. And that couldn't have helped.
Yeah, that's fair enough. You worked on the Siphon Filter games as well, didn't you, back in the day?
I did, yeah. That was my first game in the industry. As a matter of fact, I was just a designer on it. Richard Hamm was the lead designer on that. And that guy, he was brilliant. He was kind of a super energetic guy. And John Garvin was the art director and the writer on that too. That's kind of how that all got started. And that was my first gig, like 27 years ago, 26, 27 years ago.
Christ.
Yeah, I said I was old.
Was that originally like envisioned as a competitor to Metal Gear?
Yeah, I don't think that they were saying internally that it was like, this is going to be Metal Gear. But Rich was a huge fan of Metal Gear. And I remember he and I playing Metal Gear 2 when we were knee deep in crunch the year before Siphon 1 came out. And yet we both took the time to just go home and crunch, and even in the office, stay late playing, crunching to play Metal Gear and get through that. And that was a huge blast. Obviously nowhere near on the same level, but at the time when there wasn't a lot of competition, it seemed to be. And years later at E3, I was at my hotel, I was going to the convention center. There was a guy behind me in line, and I'm like, hey, you can come, you look like you're going to E3, you want to get in? Yeah, come with me. And he was one of the lead producers on Splinter Cell. And he's like, oh yeah, dude. Like, he pretty much, he's like, hey, you guys totally proved to us that you can make a James Bond or a Metal Gear without those licenses. And so, I'm like, yeah, that's true. But then they came along and totally wrecked the marketplace for us. You just couldn't compete with what they were doing, and honestly, I think that's kind of, we talked about doing Siphon Filter reboots, and I'm like, it's all been done, man. Like, it's a Ubisoft, which is the number of games that they made, and I loved a lot of those. It's just, what can we do in this normal space where you're a human being that kind of, like every country in the world has been to, every type of terrorist organization has existed, every kind of like MacGuffin has been used.
Yeah, like, but you've got tasers that set people on fire. So.
Yeah, you know, and I was going to play it out in 1999. You know, like, it's the world wants me. You have to ramp things up, and when you start by starting guys on fire, where else can you go?
Did you shit yourself a little bit when you played Metal Gear Solid 2?
Yeah. No, I mean, I've got so much respect for the creativity of Kojima. It's just, it just the balls too. You know the mm-hmm. whatever license he had to do stuff. I'm not sure exactly how that played out, but you know the things he did. I've been in design meetings with people, and there's a lot of ideas that the ship in a Metal Gear game that you would throw a designer out of the building for proposals.
I don't think anyone in the industry has the pull he has in a design room.
Yeah, and I think that they should. I think that they should. You know, like Death Stranding, I actually loved. I loved it. It was completely batshit, but in a way where I remember hearing, you know, like, oh, Kojima doesn't take notes. I'm like, he shouldn't, you know, because it's you're going to get back to basically something that's still weird and maybe not for everybody, but it's going to be diluted. And the fact that he gets to have those singular visions is awesome. And he makes the most of them, too. So I'll play anything that guy makes.
I read earlier that Michael Berlin, is that the lead dev on Siphonfall?
He was, no, he wasn't the lead dev. He was one of the studio co-founders, and he was old school Infocom. I don't know if you guys remember the Text Adventure Zork and all those games. Mm-hmm. He was part of that with Mark Blank. He was the president of Eidetic and the lead engine programmer and a former medical doctor, just a real savant. But Mike Berlin was his business partner. And by the time I showed up, Mike had about 5 months left before he left the studio. So he was the head of, he owned the Bubsy IP, I think, created the Bubsy IP. And I'm not sure how the ownership kind of worked out, but no, he was gone. Why do you ask?
The reason I asked is because I was looking up trivia for this episode, and I found a piece of trivia that said that he asked for his name to be removed from the credits because he hated Siphon Filter.
Sure. I can't remember if it wasn't, but you know, you don't leave a company the year before a game comes out, you know, because it's, you know, it's necessarily a great decision for you. I think that there were other factors in play. But he was, you know, I had very few interactions with him, but I remember I sort of replaced some of the production work he was doing. Like back in the day, a collision, there was what you saw in the world, and then there was the collision was a separate pass. I mean, that's true today, but the way we were offering it back then was by just adding a bunch of virtual boxes. And it really kind of grunt work, but he was doing that just for something to do. So I don't think he had a lot to do at that point with the game. And there was a great moment where we had a build coming up. We had to send it out. And I was rushing to get some stuff done. And he sat there. He was walking me through stuff. He's like, just calm down, son. You know, it was just this great moment where he's like, you know, he taught me how to be chill, you know, in the face of pressure and stuff. So I thought, you know, that's my one memory of Mike. But yeah, he did move on, and I wouldn't be surprised if he hated it. I think that he, you know, he had more responsibility on Bubsy than, you know, I think that, and so maybe it was a backlash for that that kind of made him just resent anything new. But honestly, I'm just projecting. I'm just reading into things. I don't know the truth.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't trust Google either. That's why I asked. All right, Dave, do you want to take us into the quiz? Should we do it?
I guess we could. And this week, we'll kick things off with two truths and a lie. Our special guest will tell us two truths and a lie, and the other contestants have one guess between them, or one guess each, to figure out the lie. The contestants get 1 point each if they win, but Jeff will get 2 points if he wins. I believe in you, Jeff. You got this.
What can I do with these points?
Trade them in for exposure at the end.
You get exposed at the end.
Clout.
Yeah.
Those are clout points, is what you're saying.
That's it. Yeah, just spit your truths.
Oh, I'm so old and I have no memory.
Yeah, go for it. Just roll them out.
Oh, okay. So the two lies and one truth?
Yeah, not in that order.
Yeah, I'll mix them up. The game designer in me is like, I'm like, oh, three is so easy to see the lie. I want like six. So I can really bury it in this. Okay, so I once worked on a movie set and got in a beef with a major star's bodyguards and almost wound up in jail. That was one. Mm-hmm. Before I was a game designer, before I was in making games at all, I was a professional semi-truck driver. And sometime during the worst theme era of Survivor, I was actually a final alternate, where I almost went on the show, but didn't quite make the cut unless somebody got sick.
These are good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you can ask one question each about one of the supposed truths, and let's go. Let's do it.
I feel like what you've got to do first is break down which one seems the most unlikely.
The celebrity. Who was the celebrity, and why were you trying to?
Ah, that's two questions.
No, it's not. It's
two questions.
Stop.
You can only
ask
one.
Okay, then he's just going to say, he's going to say Tom Cruise, and that's the end, and that's a brilliant podcast, isn't it, Kurt?
Was it Tom Cruise?
So who was the celebrity, and why were you trying to talk to him?
It was one of the most famous actors at the time. I think if I tell you more, that would be wrong. And I wasn't trying to talk to him. He was talking to me, and I was working on the set.
But if he was talking to you, why is his bodyguards going to attack you?
Now that's two questions.
Maybe he didn't like where the story went, where the conversation went.
George doesn't like where this conversation's gone either.
We'll hear the full story.
That's
at the
just
end,
more
sure.
mysterious yeah. than when it started. To be honest,
hey, it's your show. If you had given me six questions, you know, six of these things, I could have expanded a little bit more.
No. George has pushed it. Ollie, what about you? You got a question?
I just want to confirm before I ask my actual question, because I have a terrible memory. You said you were a pro semi truck driver, right?
Yes.
Okay. What was the make and model of the semi truck that you drove?
That's a great question. It was a company. It was a company truck. So Penske did the maintenance on it. Peterbilt comes to mind. But I don't remember. Like I said, I've been making video games since 1998, and I had a life before that. I can't even tell you the names of half the people I worked with 20 years ago.
Interesting.
Good question.
What was the one we didn't ask about?
Yeah, what was that final?
Repeat for that.
It was an ultimate on Survivor.
Yeah, being one of the final alternates on a season of Survivor, from the worst theme era.
What does that mean? We don't have Survivor, I don't think.
George isn't familiar.
Okay, so really, you don't have Survivor? Interesting. Yeah. Survivor is a reality game
show. We
have
Love Island.
It's kind of like Love Island, I guess, except there's no love. It's all politics. It's outwit, outplay, outlaughs. It's the ultimate survival game. It's a social competition. It's a physical competition, and it's a strategic competition. Honestly, can't believe you guys haven't heard of it, but yeah, it makes sense. They have Australian Survivor. They have Australian Survivor.
I've heard
They've
of
got
the
Finnish
show.
Survivor.
I know it's Big Brother on an island.
Yeah, they're on an island for it used to be 39 days, and then now it's 26. But it's just a matter of every two or three days they go to your tribe tries to win immunity, and if you lose, you go to tribal council. And in tribal council, you hope that your alliances that you've built hold up, and you vote somebody out, and you hope it's not you. The last person standing wins $1 million.
Yeah, it's Big Brother on an island.
Yes, it's always on an island.
All right, fantastic. George and Ollie, what are you thinking thus far? What are your vibes from the answers you've gotten?
I think alternate for Survivor seems like if you're asked to bring up two truths and a lie, and that's true, that's what you always bring up, right?
Sure.
TV,
sure.
That's a good point, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
How did you feel about the truck knowledge?
I feel like it was a believable enough response given, because he wasn't immediately panicking, right? He wasn't like, oh no, I have no idea what to say to this. He did try to think for an answer, and I feel like anybody who just made that shit up wouldn't really even know what to think for. So I think it's probably the movie one.
Yeah, I also think the movie and the truck driving are not, I can't think of it, mutually exclusive, not mutually, they can't happen, they can't both be true. So if you believe in the truck, I think it's got to be the celebrity. I also feel like you can dish a bit of celebrity goss, it's a podcast that 100 people listen to.
Okay, that's pretty intense. I have my own theories, but this
I
has
have
got,
my own theories
this is going to be one of the most stumped I've ever been. In fairness, like usually I'm like, I feel like I know where this is going. Not this time. Not today.
What are you saying then, you two?
Yeah, what are you coming
celebrity.
Together on?
Yeah, the celebrity one.
The celebrity interaction.
You, before you go, I want to say my guess. I think it's the truck driver one that's a lie.
I am leaning towards truck driver, but I also, because I don't know, because we didn't hear the survivor story, maybe that's making me doubt it. Mm. All right. Jeff, do you want to reveal the truth behind them?
Yeah. Okay, so...
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My number one fantasy of all time that has never come true is getting on Survivor. We're not even coming close.
None of us were right.
It's like the... I've watched every episode of that show. I still watch it regularly. The reruns are on streaming. I think I sent in a video once, but it was a shit video, so... I still want to go on it. I'm working on a video for this year to apply again. Huge fan of Survivor. That's the lie. Sorry, guys, but it's also my biggest fantasy. I honestly don't remember the details about the trucks. This was back in 1996, so it was a really long time ago, from 94 to 97-ish. And what was the other one? Oh, the movie star. Again, echoing how old I am. It was on the set of Homer and Eddie, which is filmed in Oregon City, Oregon, next to where I grew up. Whoopi Goldberg and James Belushi was the star at the time. Absolutely. And that's why I couldn't tell you anything more, because it would have been so specific, it would have been obvious that was the truth. So on the movie set, it was a volunteer job. I kind of wormed my way in, and the producer let me do it. And it was my job just to recharge walkie-talkies all day. And that gave me access. Yeah, that was the thing. So it gave me access everywhere. And I was in the main hall where everybody was eating. And there were the director's chairs. It was Whoopi Goldberg, Andre Konchalovsky was the director. And then there was James Belushi. And me and my friend were just taking turns sitting in them. And I was sitting in Belushi's chair when he walked in. He was like, "Hey, kid, get the fuck out of my chair." And I was like, "Whoa." Because I was 17 at the time. And he's like, "I said, get the fuck out of my chair." So I hopped out and then, kind of scurried off. And then later on, I was working in the area, and he was there. He's like, "Hey, kid, come here." And so I came on over. He's like, "The reason I told you to get the fuck out of my chair is because I know I make a lot of money now. I get a lot of pussy, all this stuff. But like, the chair means a lot to me. The chair. I remember, in the early days, I had to change out in the streets, in my underwear in front of a bunch of people. So the chair really does mean a lot." So later on, the chair came up missing. Somebody stole the back of the chair, and I would tell you guys if it was me, and it was not me. The chair turned up missing, and they thought it was me. So somehow Belushi's bodyguards found my house. They broke into my car looking for the thing. And to be fair, I did take some swag from the set. But they were literally like parking signs. And so they found that in my car. And then they, they knocked on the door, and they were trying to intimidate me and get me to confess. And I didn't. And when I kind of flipped out when I found out they broke into my car, and my mom called the police, the cops showed up, and the guys were like, "We were just walking by the car and saw this stuff sitting out next to it." I kind of flipped out, and the cops detained me. I had to sit in the back of the cop car while these guys lied their asses off. And before the cops showed up, they were trying to intimidate me about the Chicago way. They took care of problems like me in Chicago. So, I was always kind of proud of that beef, because I never backed down. I totally would have got my ass kicked, but I still didn't back down, kind of like a little scrappy do. And, true story.
Was the chair ever found?
Oh, I don't know. Oh.
He's sitting on it now.
It would be hanging up there with Mr. U.S. Grant if I did. So, okay, the other kicker was once the bodyguards left, the cops let me out of the back of the car. They're like, "Mr. Belushi would like to see you on the set." So I went back up to the set, and they let me all the way through, and I got to go to his trailer, knocked on the door, and he opened it up, and he stood, on the top step, and he looked down at me, and he stood there for a good minute. He's like, "Good, all right." And then he came down and talked, and he just gave me some big speech, like how I was fucking myself, because I was like going down the road a million miles an hour, living this life on the edge. And He's like my brother was fucking himself, and look what happened. I'm like, he did Speedballs, and I took some swag from a movie set, dude. And my unpaid position, I took a parking sign that said the name of the movie. And okay, yeah, sure. I guess I'm fucking myself. You know, that's the gateway drug. That's the gateway to, you know, doing eight balls and being a complete drug head. But true story. I kind of wish it weren't.
When you said James Belushi, I assumed it's Jim Belushi, but is that they're brothers then? It's not the same person.
Yeah, John Belushi was the really popular blues brother.
That's it. Yeah. I was confusing it.
This is like ISIS all over again.
No, ISIS, I just didn't know, but I do know who John Belushi is.
No, let's not do it. Let's not.
Sorry, George didn't know what ISIS was. We'll just carry on into the trivia round.
It doesn't need to be explained.
This week's theme is video games. Jeff is directly or indirectly related to via stuff, PlayStation across the generations, or anything with a motorbike in it.
I didn't actually get any motorbike ones in there. I forgot I said that.
I'm going to do so poorly at this. Oh, fuck.
I'm not so sure. I feel confident.
All right.
In this round, the judge reads out questions and the contestants have to buzz in to answer them. Correct answers get 1 point and the other contestants can buzz in if the person before them gets a question wrong. Unfortunately, the judge spent the budget we had aside for buzzers on a set of falconeering gloves so he can finally deal with the creature. So each contestant went to say, what the fuck is the creature?
Don't you just need one glove? When you're doing falconeering, like you see the one.
I'm not using it.
How big the creature is.
Well, you got to feed it too, I guess. You got to.
I'm not using it for a falcon. That's the problem.
Oh.
Yeah, it's for the creature.
Cool. George, I can always rely on you for a good buzzword.
So I had a few things to say. Sorry.
Okay. Oh no.
About ISIS, right?
No, I'm cutting out everything about ISIS.
I'm cutting it all out. ISIS. Now he knows that I don't know what ISIS is. Maybe he's got a bit more confidence, and I thought that was nice.
No.
I'm cutting out every ISIS mention.
No, keep him in. It's good. It's good. What the fuck? I'm going to go Drake, though, for Uncharted Golden Abyss.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to go the other Drake. That's good. That's fine.
What's the other Drake?
Yes, that's the singer. Jeff, you are going to win. Ollie, I know that you've got a buzzword that isn't Drake.
I do. The problem is that I don't really know much about PlayStation because I'm very much a Nintendo person. So I literally just went with the first PlayStation exclusive that came to mind, and that's Knack. So that is my buzzer. I'm going to say Knack.
Fantastic. Yeah. Wonderful. This is how professional we are. Jeff, that gives you an idea of our bar, and I'm sure you can clear it. Well, have you got a good buzzer for us?
No, I don't. Let's see here. Let's just say Bigfoot.
Bigfoot. Fantastic.
It's good. All right, let's go. Are you ready for the first question? Because it's a prequel, which main Uncharted character doesn't appear in Uncharted Golden Abyss?
Drake.
No, it's not Drake. No, go on.
I don't think Sully's in it.
Sully is in it.
There's a lot of characters that don't appear in Golden Abyss. So what are we comparing it against?
Like main cast from the rest of the series.
Oh,
like
Elena. Very Elena.
You didn't buzz.
Bigfoot, Elena.
That's better. It is Elena, yeah. What major change did PSP game Resistance Retribution make to differentiate itself from the main series?
Bigfoot.
Jeff?
Third person.
Bang on. See, you're smashing it, Jeff.
The round is games Jeff's made.
Still not Jeff. A slam dunk, by the way.
Deacon St. John actor Sam Witwer also played as a zombie in a TV show in an episode ironically titled Days Big Gone Fit. By. Jeff?
Walking Dead.
Yep.
First episode, yep.
That's a weird coincidence, by the way, isn't it?
It's a total coincidence, for sure. I swear.
What year was the PlayStation Vita discontinued?
Drake.
Knack.
George.
2021.
No. That 2021. Ollie was next.
No. What? No, stop. The answer is 2021. I'm not having this. I am well aware it is 2021.
She might be right. It's later than you think. It's later than you think.
He's Googling it.
It's not.
You Ollie. Stop that now.
Ollie.
I want to say 2023.
No.
So, in Price is Right rules, I just have to say $1 and I'm broke.
No.
Okay. 2024.
No.
Fuck. 2016. Just for shits and grins.
It was 2019.
It's not. I don't know what to say. It's not.
Okay, George, it is.
So in this book that I wrote called Vita Fucking Means Hell. Life, An Unofficial Complete History of the PlayStation Vita, that I wrote that, and it's 2021. Just to look that up there.
PS Vita production ended in Japan on March 1st, 2019. So it is 2019, apparently.
Right, one more question. Sam Witwer was also the protagonist for which Star Wars game?
Oh, Bigfoot. Yep. Force Unleashed.
Yep. Sweeps it. Clean sweep.
It really was an advantageous round for you, Jeff. You see, doing it great. Was.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you very much. I appreciate the softballs.
At the end of that round, the scores are George has nothing, Ollie has nothing, and Jeff has six.
Great job, Jeff.
Thank you. Woo-hoo.
We've never had such an amazing winner before. Like, no one's been this far ahead.
Okay. It could all change, though.
It could all change. What, I think more? It just might. There is more.
There's, oh, yeah.
Shit.
Sorry.
Not much longer, don't worry.
Next up is a round of That Motherfucker Back There Is Not Real. The judge will give you a series of character names from various games, and you have to figure out which one is made up.
Yep, so you'll get 3 points if you buzz in and get it straight away, but points are deducted each time someone rules one out. Here are some motherfuckers who are not real. First game is Days Gone.
Oh.
Deacon St. John. Boomer. Schizo.
Bigfoot.
Iron Mike.
Boomer.
Is Boomer. Because his real name is Boozer.
I will say, Kirk, of all the guests, this has been most weighted in the guests' favour. Like, this is not even... It's not like games they like or something. It's literally things they did.
The last round is weighted in your favour.
George, I still want to say I'm an old-ass man with a... fried memory. This is not a gimme. Like this, the closer it's to me, the further away it is. Trust me. But Kirk, I do appreciate the red carpet. By the way,
it's all right. No worries. No worries. Great song. The next one is Siphon Filter. Gabe Logan, Dylan Morgan, Simon Stevenson, and Edward Benton.
Neck.
Ollie.
It's the last one.
Edward Benton is real.
Oh,
there you go.
Bigfoot. It was the second one.
What, Dylan Morgan?
I think.
He's real as well.
Ooh. Oh, fuck.
Drake.
What?
Gabe. Gabe Newell.
Gabe.
Whoever the first one was. I remember it was Gabe.
Yeah, he's the main character.
He's Sam. Yeah, he's Sam Fisher, Solid Snake of that series.
Yeah, it was Simon Stevenson.
It's very rare that nobody gets around on this.
I mean, it's because I just followed the naming conventions, like Dylan Morgan, Edward Benton, Simon Stevenson.
You just used two names.
Yeah. So it was the Sam again, right? There was Sam, right?
Simon Stevenson, yeah. That motherfucker is not real.
Okay.
This one's so stupid and he's going to get it straight away. I'm sorry. Days Gone, Not Zombies. Freakers, Screamers, Bleachers, Grippers.
Bigfoot. Grippers sound like awesome zombies, but relax. they were not.
Oh, that's not a grip.
All right. Wait, is that a grip?
That's such a specific grip.
Oh, yeah.
AI manga. That's what Dave just referenced.
I've got a head rush.
Drew by an AI that we were sharing around.
That made me laugh so hard I got a head rush. I need a second, okay? This has been the weirdest pod. It really has. Like, what's happened? I'm sorry, it's actually really late on a Friday. We clock off in 10 minutes. This
it's felt
happening.
Like a Friday all week as well, by the way. So, yeah.
Shall we do the final round?
Yeah, let's do the final round.
We're playing Rate Your Stars Right for our We're playing Rate Your Stars Right for our final round this week. Don't know what's wrong with me. The judge will choose 19 PS Vita games. There you go, George. 19 PS Vita games, and you have to guess whether the next game in the sequence has a higher or lower Metacritic rating. You get 1 point for each game guessed correctly, but it's passed on to the next player when you get one wrong.
Yep, and usually we start with the person who's last, but George and Ollie are both last because neither of them have a point yet.
Janken.
So
yeah, we got because sadly I didn't make Days Gone or Siphon Filter, so I'm not.
Yeah, but you did write a book about the production of the Vita.
This is where I'm going to lose my glorious lead. I'm going to lose this awesome lead here, guys. Oh, God, this feels...
I will say that I got tripped up on the software over the hardware, and I can admit when I'm wrong, but I am disappointed in myself.
Well, George, you know, if you get a clean sweep here, you'll be 5
yeah,
points.
Yeah, put me in no, first so that I can yeah. clean sweep from the bottom. Let's watch this
sorry.
Now. Watch it from the bottom
7
to the top.
Points ahead, sorry.
Should we what give it Ollie do first, wanna... to be fair? Cause
no, no, give it to George. I'm happy right. to go full yeah, zero on this one.
Right. George, then Ollie, then Jeff, then. So, all right, we're starting with Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation, which has a Metascore of 70. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is Batman Arkham Origins Blackgate higher or lower?
Oh, that's probably lower. It's pretty bad.
It is lower, yeah. Is Dragon's Crown higher or lower than that?
Oh, higher.
Yep. Is Killzone Mercenary higher or lower than Dragon's Crown?
Lower, I'm going to say, yeah.
He sweeps over.
What? I would have thought Dragon's Crown
that
is
was
like
a close
90s.
One. It's 1 point away. They're 1 point away.
These are all okay. pretty close. They're all pretty close.
Okay, okay.
Ollie, so is Uncharted Golden Abyss higher or lower than Killzone Mercenary?
Higher.
It is. Is Resistance Retribution higher or lower than Uncharted Golden Abyss?
Lower?
Incorrect.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's well worth that. Uncharted and Resistance are both, like, they often get in the top 10.
Yeah. People all right, like it's back to you then, Jeff. Is Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 higher or lower than Resistance Retribution?
Lower.
It's higher.
Fuck.
No, it's lower. It's lower. Oh. You're right.
Fuck hey. Fucking
hey. I love that. I love that if you give a game that's better than his games just to show off.
Oh, so wait, how come? Why did you answer so fast?
You were like, I don't know. I read the wrong.
No, not you, Kirk. Bit. Jeff, oh, you were like okay. lower straight away. You hit that. Poor Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
I commit. I just pick something and I go.
Okay, I respect that. I respect that.
All right, is Danganronpa 2 Goodbye Despair higher or lower than Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3?
Higher.
It is higher.
Banger.
Is Hotline Miami higher or lower than Danganronpa 2?
Higher.
Yep. Is Tearaway higher or lower than Hotline Miami?
Lower.
Incorrect.
Ooh. That is shocking to me. That is shocking.
That
to
is
me.
Shocking.
Hotline Miami, sick.
It is, especially on the Vita. It's the perfect
yeah.
console.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for Vita's sure.
The best. I used to play it, like, I used to go to the onsen, and then I used to play it out in the waiting area afterwards. Have a
just
milk.
Stamping on people. On
have a cold milk.
Room.
Play a
could,
bit of Hotline Miami.
Couldn't you, like, pull the screen? Like, you could use the sticks to move the camera, but you could still pull the screen.
Yeah.
You could,
yeah.
I love that. Like, who can play that on a PC with a mouse? The Vita was perfect hardware for that. Yeah.
It was perfect. All right. Is Metal Gear Solid HD Collection higher or lower than Tearaway?
Lower. If that's higher than Hotline. Yeah.
Yep. It shouldn't be lower, but it is.
To be fair,
Tearaway is good. Tearaway is good.
I don't think it runs that well on the Vita.
Okay. Is Guacamelee higher or lower than Metal Gear Solid HD Collection?
Higher.
Yep. Is Velocity 2X higher or lower than Guacamelee?
Sick game. Sick game. I bet that's higher. Higher. Sick game.
It is higher. Yeah.
Yeah, sick.
Is Gravity Rush higher or lower than Velocity 2X?
Lower.
Yep. Is Rayman Origins higher or lower than
Gravity
Rush?
This was the round for me! Sorry, one more. Sorry, I was talking.
Is Rayman Origins higher or lower than Gravity Rush?
Ooh! I'm gonna go higher.
You're gonna be right. Is Minecraft higher or lower than Rayman Origins?
Oh my god. We looked this up. We looked this up the other day. Minecraft has like a rating of like 68 to fucking 95. It's really annoying. Yep. So what am I meant to do? Lower.
Yes. Give me an answer.
68. Thank you.
Just lower. Is Spelunky higher or lower than Minecraft?
Higher.
Yep.
Fucking knew it.
Is Persona 4 Golden higher or lower than Spelunky?
Higher.
Yep. Is Fez higher or lower than Persona 4
lower.
Golden?
Lower.
Fucking hell. Yeah.
We've had this. It. We've had my opinions on Fez. We've had it. It's average.
Thanks, John. Thank you.
I have strong opinions on its averageness.
In fairness to Tearaway, it was like one of the only exclusive Vita games
they
that
used
made
the
function.
Thing.
Yeah, they used it all. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was pretty cool.
No, I will tell you now, Uncharted Golden Abyss uses the most Vita functions of every game.
More than Tearaway.
It doesn't make it doesn't put your face in the sun with the selfie cam though.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, that is funny. I did a picture and it was like so good. And then I saw it like every time.
That was the reason the game got scores.
I took a picture of my butt crack and I used it as the texture for loads of stuff. It was so good.
I know an artist who put his butthole in a texture in a video game. I can't say anything. It was for a pipe.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. What's the game? What's the game?
No,
he can't tell us that.
I can't tell you.
Yeah, I don't think you should.
No, but
my name is
Uncharted Golden Abyss. Yeah, it used the back panel, it used the front panel.
It did. So, you know, about that too is like that was one of the things where the designers, myself included, hated the fact that all those things were mandatory. You know, because the things were where there were options, like there was the climbing where you could touch. I think you could use even the back. You could use the back to climb the ropes and everything, but then you could also just use the sticks. That was the best way to do it, but there were a few things where it was absolutely essential that we had to use the hardware, and we resisted it, and those things kind of hurt the game in a lot of ways. I don't know how we could have done alternate versions of these things, but
I will say that there's one bit where you have to use the camera to look at a light.
Yeah, and that pissed a lot of people off because they're playing their game in bed.
It doesn't work.
Yeah,
it doesn't work.
Oh,
like, you can put it next to the fucking brightest light ever and the camera does not pick it up. It's horrendous.
And even the touchscreen for the puzzles, too, like, it was a little sketchy sometimes. I'm not sure if that was hardware or if that was on our end or whatever, but it was just, it's dangerous when you lean so much into the hardware exclusively. Like, we could have done, like, you know, this day and age, you'd have to do the accessibility pass for sure, and the game totally could have benefited from that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. They didn't even really consider accessibility back then, did they?
Yeah, no. Hold your Vita like this, and then reach the back. That's not going to pass a lot of accessibility tests.
Yeah, there's one Vita game I had to hold it between my knees because you have to do the top and the bottom at the same time. I thought, who thought about this? So I was holding it between my knees and like hunched over.
Yeah, that was Jeff.
No, I wasn't a child. I raged against those ideas. Yeah, those things, they're cool to have as toys, but to make them essential, I think it's a bad choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, shall I tell us the scores?
I'm pretty eager to know of the scores.
Okay, Ollie's steaming in at last place with 1 point.
Steaming in.
Good job, Ollie. And then that's we got,
next up we got George with 12 points.
Ooh, sad. Well,
and Jeff with 15.
Oh,
yeah. I honestly thought, so George, I thought you were on a roll. I thought she beat
that
me.
That was
so,
a steamer of a clean sweep.
It was a good effort. Very good effort. I told you you'd be happy by the end of it.
Oh,
he was
yeah.
raging all the way through that podcast.
Oh, God.
Until got that
yeah,
point.
No, I will say, this is the first time ever I've known every game on that list, and I think I've played every game on that list. I'm pretty sure I have, so...
There's playing the game, then there's no one, just the random ass Metacritic scores. Oh, shit. Like,
it's true.
That's the real game here.
But it's like, you know, if it's shit on Vita, because some of them are dog shit on Vita, but they're good, like Metal Gear. So it's that knowledge. Yeah. It's brought me through to second place.
Jeff, do you have a winner speech for us or anything that you'd like to plug? Or tell us about?
God, I'd like to thank the Academy of Vita. It was a great time of my life, a good 2 years. That's when we used to make games in like 2 years. No, that's my speech. Ollie, you're the real winner here. You didn't have to kind of put your embarrassing knowledge on the line like we did.
But George, I can see.
I mean, it's actually good for me because in Australia, lower scores are better because it works the other way around in the Southern Hemisphere. So.
Okay.
And George, I happily share my win with you. It was so close. It was a statistical tie. So.
Yeah, I don't think so, but I will say I've proved a lot about the Vitas, that I know a lot about the Vita, even if I got the main question wrong.
That's all.
I wouldn't give up on that.
Need to brush up on your day's gun knowledge.
I think you should do, you know, like a. That's a technical. It should have been a technical question, right? Specifically, in which territory was the hardware discontinued by an official press release?
Yes.
Yeah.
Whenever there's a question like that, it's just whatever I decide. So. George is so angry. Look at her.
No, okay. I'm happy. I think I did sick in that last round.
You did.
And you realize the title of this podcast is ISIS and Buttholes.
Please.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.